Hello and welcome back to Seek First the Kingdom. Today we will be talking about temptation and the effect of it in our lives. If there is one spiritual battle that we are guaranteed in our lives, it's temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Now, let's take a little closer look at that verse. The beginning of the verse lets us know that we aren't alone. Others have also faced the same temptations we do. Let's use the struggle many men face with sexual purity as an example. Today, men are offered a whole buffet of options to fuel and feed their sexual urges, even if we ignore the obvious sources such as pornography. Sexuality is part of many TV shows, movies, and advertisements where the target audience is men. There was a video I saw once that said, "Do you want to sell something to a man? Put a woman with it, showing as much skin as possible." They then showed products that men might buy and how the woman was technically the main focus in the advertisement. Tool companies used to be a great example. Calendars and mugs with women that were barely dressed were given out to promote their products. Sure, she might be holding a wrench or a drill, but that was obviously not what they wanted you to look at. Men have scientifically been shown to be visually stimulated. So what better way to get a man's attention drawn to your ad than with a beautiful woman? Now that's an example of sexual temptation these days, but it's been around for so much longer than that. One of the most common examples from Bible times is King David. He was the king. He had pretty much everything he could need or want. So what temptation was presented to him? Sexual temptation. David was walking around the roof of the palace, most likely just looking out over the area he was ruling over. As he was looking out over the kingdom, he saw a beautiful woman bathing. I don't know how many men could see a beautiful woman bathing and not be tempted by the sight. Looking back in time this far, we can see that times have changed and temptation delivery might change, but it's still the same temptation others have faced. The end of the verse says God will provide a way out when we are tempted. What this way out looks like could be many things. Let's go back to the story of David's sexual temptation. David could have looked away when he saw her, and that might have been the end of it. But instead, he asked who she was. He was told not only who she was, but that she was married. This was David's way out. She was a married woman. He was a man who served God and was chosen to be Israel's king. This should have been the end of this story. But he ignored the way out he'd been given, and the story quickly got worse. He had her brought to him, and he slept with her, and she became pregnant. So, David has her husband Uriah brought home from the war. From the account of the events given, it seems that David is hoping the man will sleep with his wife so that it will appear that the child belongs to him. But Uriah stays outside and refuses to go inside and sleep with her because of his respect for the Ark of the Covenant and the one still at war sleeping in tents. David then plotted to place Uriah into a position where he will be killed in battle. Ultimately, Uriah is killed. David takes the woman as his wife afterwards. Talk about escalating situations. It started with a simple look at a naked woman and ended up with a man dead through a king's plotting, all because David ignored the way out God had given him. The thing about temptation that makes it such a struggle is that temptation is specific to the person and their situation in life. Have you ever thought about that? The temptations you face are customized just for you. Others have faced and are facing them, yes, but your temptations aren't just random. The whole purpose of a temptation is to get you to do something that you shouldn't. So, you have to be tempted with something that appeals to you. Crazy example, but say you're a strict vegetarian. Now, you see an advertisement for a steak with a nice sear on the outside, perfectly cooked inside, juices running across the plate. Are you tempted to run to the nearest steakhouse and grab a T-bone? Most likely not. It's the same way with the temptation to sin. The temptations that come to you will be based on your life. Let's make it more personal. In my life, I struggle with loneliness. Not the kind of loneliness that's from a lack of friends, not being around other people, or that sort of thing. I'm talking about the kind of loneliness that comes from the lack of a significant other. So, many of my temptations revolve around that. Sometimes I'm tempted when I see a woman to wish that she was mine, or that I at least had someone like her. Other times, I might be tempted to be angry because I see a couple having a good time and I'm reminded of what I don't have. These temptations come from wanting something I don't have. Now, the desire by itself isn't wrong. God said during the creation that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he created woman. The desire I have is natural. Where it goes wrong is when I allow that desire to be used to make me jealous or angry. In my case, sometimes my temptations feel like being teased. Almost everyone has been teased, especially as children. Someone saying, "Look what I have. Don't you wish you had it?" Obviously, the temptations I face aren't coming from the women or the couples. They aren't saying that to me. The temptations come from the father of sin, Satan. And the temptations can come in so many different messages. Using me again, I might hear statements or questions, both with the same core meaning, but each method delivered when it can be most effective. I might hear a statement, "Nobody wants you." Or I might hear a question, "Why doesn't anyone want you?" You see, it's the same message but delivered differently. If I'm having a bad day that involves anger, I might see a happy couple and hear the statement. If I'm having a bad day that involves sadness, I might see that same couple and hear the question. Each one is tailored to my mood and my weakness at that moment in time. I understand that all of that might seem unrelated to temptation, and I understand why it might seem that way. But where is the temptation in all that? The temptation, as someone who is trying to follow God, is at the very least to take my focus off God and place it on those things, or, even more severe, to be mad at God. My reactions could be questions. Where is God at? If he loves me as much as he says he does, why am I alone? Why does everyone get to be happy except me? Those questions could also be worded as angry statements. If God loved me, I wouldn't have to be alone. God obviously doesn't want me to be happy. These types of situations are hard to deal with because the way out might not seem as obvious as the one King David was given. The key is to learn to watch and even listen for them. A way out can simply be something breaking into the negative thought process to give you time to realize what's happening. Quick example. I almost always have my radio on in my car. Sometimes one of the temptation situations will occur while I'm in the car, and pretty quick, I'll hear something on the radio that addresses what I'm thinking right at that moment. If I grab what I heard and think about it, I will realize that the chances of it being a coincidence are pretty small, and that it has to be God speaking to me. If we use the example of King David in visual temptations, I might see a beautiful woman and be tempted to take a second look. In that moment, something might block my view. That is God giving me a way out. It's my responsibility to see it for what it is, take it, and remember I need to guard my eyes. Otherwise, the temptation could lead me to be angry that my view was blocked. See what I mean? The way out might be obvious, or it might not be. The only way to recognize the ways out is to practice and learn to watch for them. Temptation is a trap, but we don't have to get caught in it. God is there for us, just waiting to help. We simply have to run to Him, admit we need help, and take it when it's offered. Will we fail and give in to temptation sometimes? Absolutely. It's part of our fallen nature. However, we can always come back to God, ask forgiveness, rise above our past, and strive towards the future that God wants for us. Take a moment today and think about what ways you are tempted in your life. Try to find out why those temptations are being presented to you. Once you find the reason, give it to God. Let Him speak to you in the area that the temptations are coming from and bring healing. Remember, though, God promises a way out, not that we won't be tempted. Just like muscular strength, spiritual strength doesn't come from a lack of use. Rather, it comes from using it regularly to overcome the temptations presented to us. May God watch over you and help you find the ways out He has for you when temptations come in your life. Thank you for listening.